And I am just so thrilled to be here to continue in this series of Jeremiah, the prophet when the end came. And so as we delve into Jeremiah today, as we study together, don't forget your study sheet that's in your bulletin. If you have your study sheet, pull it out. It's useful to remember, and it's useful to take home with you if you'd like to remember these things and do the study yourself later on. So pull out your study sheet this morning as we look at Jeremiah in the sermon called A Heart Full of Tears. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we stand and we're all around here gathered to worship you, to honor you as our Creator and our Redeemer, on this special day that you've given us, give us a special blessing of your Spirit to understand the issues in Jeremiah, to understand what we're about to read in his text, to give us a new heart and a new mind to understand what you would have for us to do in this last day. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'd like to begin with a question. And here's my question. When was the last time that you wept over the lost? Odd question. When was the last time that you lost sleep in your tears over the fact that there are people that are lost, that are not saved, that will not be saved? When was the last time that you wept? And the reason I ask that is because for us as a congregation of people, for us to be a place that's powerful in reaching lost people, we can't reach them if we don't care enough to pray for them. In fact, there was a famous evangelist of way yesteryear. His name was Charles Spurgeon, who once said that the soul winner must be a master in the art of prayer. You cannot bring souls to God if you do not go to God yourself. And I believe that's true. I mean, in the Bible, when every time we see people who are concerned about the lost, that pray for the lost, they were powerful people. Let me give you an example. Samuel, the prophet, 1 Samuel 12:23, he said to the children of Israel, he says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and the right way." Samuel was somebody who was praying for lost people. Probably the most famous prayer in the Bible for the lost was Jesus when he was hanging on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23:34. And of course, we know that Stephen, when he was stoned by lost, being stoned by lost people, he quoted the same prayer again and again, praying for lost people. And my point here is that the people in the scriptures who did mighty things for God were all people who prayed for the lost. And perhaps there's probably no greater time and no greater need for prayers for the lost than there are when the end actually comes. And so what I'd like to do this morning is spend just a moment looking at the life of Jeremiah in his prayer life as we look at this incredible prophet who prayed for the lost sheep of Israel when the end came. And Jeremiah certainly was one of those. And the way we find Jeremiah is all throughout his writings, you find his prayers. They're intermixed with his text, his sermons. They're intermixed with the messages of God. And here's one of those places, Jeremiah 8:20-9:1, where it says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn. Dismay has taken over me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored? Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." What a powerful prayer for the lost. And in this prayer, friends, we can learn four incredible lessons. Four lessons that will help us to be powerful people, powerful in prayer for the lost. And as a result, we'll be powerful people for God. Would you like to learn what those four things are? All right, well, let's go. Get your study sheet out. Number one, no, we have to have eyes that see the need. We have to have eyes that see the need. Number one. And of course, Jeremiah, the prophet, unlike the people of Judah he was living around, Jeremiah the prophet knew the condition of the people living in Judah when the end came. He saw their condition when he said, "The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved." Jeremiah saw the people around him and said, "These people are not saved. These are lost people." And what that is called, what that involved, is involved something called spiritual discernment. Seeing the need, write this down, seeing the need of lost people requires spiritual discernment. And Jeremiah had that. Philippians 1:9 says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all" what? All discernment. The word discernment in this text implies having an insight through knowledge that goes down to the foundation, that reaches to the roots of the problem. That's what the word discernment means in that text. It's talking about the ability to uncover and see the root cause, to understand what's happening. That's what discernment is in the Bible. And where Jeremiah received his discernment was through the Word of God. It was through the Word of God that he had that discernment. Turn with me in your Bibles quickly. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Turn there with me for just a moment. As Paul teaches us a little bit about spiritual discernment, listen to what he says. Great to hear those pages turning. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern" what? What are you discerning? Good and evil. You see, it's through the Word of God that we receive spiritual discernment. Discernment comes so that we would know whether something is good or something is evil. And this is the whole point in Jeremiah. And interestingly enough, when we come to the Word of God, we learn about God's love, His mercy, but also His justice. We learn from God. As a result, we're able to discern when something is good and something is evil. What does our world want us to do today? Our world today wants us to call evil good and call good evil. Isn't that right? To live in a world today, to know that you should see the need, do you actually see a need to pray for lost people today? It's going to come only from discernment that comes from the Word of God. You'll have to know what good and evil is. You can't know that unless you are reading in the Scriptures. And you know, fortunately, friends, the thing I love about this text is it tells me this, that spiritual discernment is not for the elites. You don't have to go to some guy dressed in fancy clothes to get spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment comes from you getting into the Word of God, you staying in the Word of God, you knowing the Word of God. Because if you do, Paul says right there in Hebrews that you will have, with practice, you will have the ability to know the difference between good and evil. You can spiritually discern. And it was Jeremiah, his capability, his ability in the Word, his ability to have the Word of God in his life that was gave him the ability to come out and look at the people of his day and say, "Oh, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved." He knew the people, that what they were doing was wrong, it was evil. And he was able then to see the need for what? For prayer. To pray for lost people. You know, you will not pray for the lost if you do not see the need. Isn't that right? So you need to have spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is the key that gives us the ability to see the need to pray for the lost. Because you will not pray for lost people if you don't believe that they are lost, right? You won't know because you have, if you trust our world, you'll think that evil is good and good is evil. That's just a fact. But if you read the Bible, you'll have discernment. You'll know. Okay, that's the first step. The first lesson that we can learn from Jeremiah. The second lesson is this. Carrying a burden. We need to have the ability to carry a burden for the lost. Listen to what Jeremiah says here. He says, "For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me." What a powerful illustration of a word that we have in English that's called sympathy. Write this down. Sympathy. The word that best describes carrying this burden is sympathy. And according to Webster's dictionary, sympathy is an affinity or an association or a relationship between persons or things wherein whatever affects one similarly affects the other. And you can hear that in Jeremiah when he says to them, he says, "For the brokenness of my people, I am broken. Their wound is my wound." In other words, this is something, you know, that's really serious. You know, when they tell you when you're dealing with somebody in counseling, they tell you never be sympathetic. Be empathetic. You know, empathy is a little different word. Empathy means that you understand what they're going for, but you don't allow it to affect yourself. Right? I empathize with you. I see what you're going through, I understand, but I'm not going to let it affect myself. Sympathy, on the other hand, is where you see what's happening to them and it affects you. It actually is causing you to have pain because they're having pain. When was the last time that lost people caused you to have pain that they're lost? Their loss, and it's bothering you. This is Jeremiah. He was willing to carry a burden. I'll tell you a story that I think is kind of interesting that talks about this. And it's a story of a book that was written by a woman named Elizabeth Elliot called Keep a Quiet Heart. And in this book, she tells a first-person account by a lady named Brenda Foss from Minnesota, where I used to live. And she was going out on her first expedition to go rock climbing. And while Brenda was up on the rocks, wherever they were at, in this beautiful place, suddenly one of the ropes, there was a safety rope or something, was snapped on her, not the main rope, and it came by and it hit her in the face and knocked out her contact lens. And Brenda was extremely, you know, needed those contact lenses, so now she had this blindness in one eye. She was standing there just, you know, looking around for it but couldn't find it. Finally, they get her up to the top, and there at the top, she has somebody look at her body. She still can't find it. She's so upset. She sits down, and suddenly she's just looking out at all these beautiful mountains, and she was looking at the scenery, and she remembered a Bible verse. The eyes of the Lord can, you know, the eyes of the Lord run through and fro throughout the earth. And she said a prayer. She said, "Lord God, I know that you created all this. You know every tree and leaf here. Would you please help me find my contact lens?" And so the story goes in the book that she goes down to the bottom of the hill with her help from her friends. And there was another group of people getting ready to climb up the hill. And one of them looks over and says, "Hey, did anybody lose a contact lens?" And you know, if that wasn't miraculous enough, right, the reason that that person saw the contact lens in the first place was that it was moving. An ant was carrying the contact lens. And as many times as this miraculous prayer story has been told, they don't even talk about the miracle part. They talk about the ant who was willing to carry the burden. In fact, there was even this, I found this online. The ant carrying the burden. It says, "Lord, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it. It's awfully heavy. But if this is what you want me to do, I'll carry it for you. Now think about that with respect to the lost. Praying for the lost, having sympathy for the lost, where their lostness affects your heart. You know what? Why do you want me to carry that, Lord? It's awfully heavy. Sympathizing with the plight of the lost is heavy. It's a burden. You know, we're not talking empathy here. We're talking sympathy. Sympathy, again, is where their brokenness is your brokenness. Their loss, their hurt is your hurt. See, you now have spiritual discernment, so you can see the path that they're heading down is leading to destruction. And so now, are you willing to carry the burden? See, Jeremiah was willing to carry the burden for the lost people. He was willing to bear that burden. He was the one who said, their brokenness is my brokenness. I'm sympathetic to their brokenness. Because they're not saved, I'm hurt. Can you imagine feeling that way? When was the last time you felt that way about lost people? Their brokenness is my brokenness. And so that drove him to his knees to pray. All right, number three. The third thing you need to know we can learn from Jeremiah in this lesson is this. So the first one is being able to see the need. And you can't see the need unless you have spiritual discernment. You can't get spiritual discernment unless you know your Bible, because then you'll know good and evil, and you'll be able to tell the difference. Second, you have to be willing to carry a burden for the lost. You have to know they're lost, and then you have to say to yourself, yes, their lostness is my lostness. Their burden is my burden. Then number three, you have to know what is needed. Jeremiah cries out, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? See, he knew that there was balm in Gilead. He knew there was a physician there. But then he said, why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been healed? You know, the best way to understand this passage that Jeremiah is talking about is to look at a request that Paul, the apostle, asked for people to pray for lost people, for the people of the world. Listen to what Paul says, and we'll come back to this. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Timothy asking now for Christians to pray for people of the world. He says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. And here Paul is asking Christians to pray with these three key words. And you know, when you look at them, you look at the word entreaties, prayers, and petitions, and you think to yourself, well, they're probably all the same. They're talking about the same thing. But the reality is that they all have subtle differences to them that really brings out to us the concept of what it means to pray for the lost. And the word I want you to look at here is the word entreaties. Write this down. The word entreaties refers to prayer that arises from a sense of need. Knowing what is lacking, we plead to God to supply it. And so one of the things that Jeremiah was doing was he was entreating to God. He knew what was lacking. He goes, is there no balm in Gilead? In other words, I know there's balm in Gilead. I know it's there. Is there no physician there? I know there's a physician there. See, Jeremiah was praying in a way that was an entreaty. He knew what the need was for the people. And so he was praying for that need. He was praying for them. You know, sometimes the best person to pray for the lost is someone who knows them, who works with them, who lives with them, who knows their need, so they can go straight to God and plead for that one thing. They might say, Lord God, you know so-and-so is struggling today with alcohol. They're struggling with tobacco. They're struggling with gambling. You know so-and-so, he's been struggling with unbelief. The science of this atheistic world has turned his heart. Lord, you know so-and-so and how they're struggling with this or that. See, when you, the best person to pray is someone who actually knows what is needed. And God loves those kinds of prayers. God loves the challenge to get involved, just like Jeremiah calling out to God saying, is there no balm in Gilead? Lord, isn't there a balm for the alcoholic? Isn't there a balm, Father, for those who are lost in unbelief? Isn't there a balm in Gilead, Lord, for that one person who's struggling with sexual addiction? Is there no balm, Lord, in Gilead? What you're doing is you're challenging the very thrones of heaven, saying, Lord God, is there nothing can be done for this lost person who's dying in their sins right before our eyes? And God loves those prayers. The reason there are not more people in here, sin-sick souls, working for Jesus, is because there's not enough people out there praying for them. Saying, Lord God, is there no balm in Gilead to save this sin-sick soul, this person? See, it's up to us to be those people, those Jeremiahs, when the end comes. I know so-and-so is struggling. What can we do? Do you see this? Do you see it? If you see it, say, I saw it. All right. So what do we learn? There's three lessons so far. Number one, if we're going to pray, if we want to be people powerful for God to reach the lost in the last days, if we want to be his remnant people that reach God's the last group of people, we have to, number one, we have to do what? We have to see the need. How are we going to see the need? Spiritual discernment. Where do we get that? From the scriptures. The word of God gives us spiritual discernment to know that there is actually a need to pray for. Okay, number two. Once we see the need, we have to be willing to what? Carry the burden. We have to sympathize with the lost so that their burden, their lostness is our lostness. Their hurt is our hurt. Their brokenness is our brokenness. So that we will be driven to our needs to pray for them. And then number three, we have to know what's needed. We have to see what it is we're praying for. I'm praying for these lost people because of this. And so that leads us now to the last of these. I said there were four. There is four. And the last of these that Jeremiah asked for is the most life-changing. Matter of fact, it's the most powerful in that it can change things. And that's this one. We need to learn the lesson of persistence. We need to learn the lesson of persistence. Listen to Jeremiah. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Can you see the persistence in his prayer? You know, one of the reasons why Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, which he's called, is because of his persistent prayers to God for the people, the lost people of Israel. And we know this because Jeremiah was very persistent in his prayers. How many of you have a concordance? Okay, try this out. Go home, look at the word pray in Jeremiah, where it says Jeremiah, J-E-R. Look at the word pray. And what you're going to find there is that three times God says to Jeremiah, stop praying for these people. Three times. Stop praying for them. Jeremiah was so persistent in his prayers, he was bugging God so much, he said, stop. When was the last time God said to you, stop praying for the lost? When was the last time? You know, you're not bugging God enough. We're just not bugging God enough in this church. We should have oracles coming from God, you know, an angel appearing. This church has got to stop praying for the lost. This is too much. You're bugging me. Three times in Jeremiah has heard from the Lord, Stop praying for these people. Jeremiah was persistent in his prayers for lost people. Think about it. What would happen to this community, to the leaders, the politicians, the leaders, the spiritual leaders in this community, if the people in this church were praying for them, and they wouldn't stop praying for them, and they just kept praying for them, praying and praying, what could happen? Well, I'll tell you what can happen. You ready? Persistent prayers can do two things, and they're amazing what they can do. Number one, write this down. Persistent prayers can change history. They can change history. You know, Jeremiah's prayers were so persistent that they had the power to change history when the end came. Now, how many of you have ever read the prophets, Isaiah, and those types? Well, if you have read them, you'll know that the prediction of what was going to happen to the children of Israel was really ugly. It was sword, famine, pestilence, wild beasts. The city of Jerusalem was going to be burned to the ground. The temple was going to be destroyed. But Jeremiah was praying. And if you look in chapter 38, I believe it's chapter 38 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is asked by Zedekiah to pray to God for him. And because of Jeremiah's prayers, God was willing to relent of all of it. Sword, famine, pestilence, wild beasts, city won't be destroyed, no burning with fire. If Zedekiah would humble himself and go out to the king of Babylon. All because of the prayers of this man, Jeremiah. This prophet who saw the need, who was willing to carry the burden, who knew what needed to be prayed for, and who continually prayed to God to the place where God was telling him to stop. His prayers could have changed the history when the end came. And so here's my point. Everything that I read in the Bible and in the prophets tells me that before Jesus returns, there will be a time of trouble so bad that you can't picture it, that pens couldn't write about it. There's going to be a time of trouble that'll come upon the earth. What would happen if the people in this church started praying? Praying for the politicians at the end time. Praying for the banksters at the end time. Praying for the spiritual leaders. Praying for everybody at the end time. Because guess what? We have the chance of changing the history of the end. Think about that. The privilege of changing the very history of the end. How it's all going to go down. And you know, I'm not the only one that believed this. Paul, the prophet and the apostle, also believed this. Because remember the text I showed you about how Paul wanted us to pray in entreaties and petitions and prayers for all men, for these people? These are the ones. Let's look at part two. Here's part two. The next verse, 1 Timothy 2:2. For kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You know, we have with our prayers the power to change history because we're persistent in praying for the lost, for praying for lost people when the end comes. Wouldn't you like to be able to do that? Anybody here want to do that? Amen. I want to do that. But there's probably one more reason why persistent prayers and praying for the lost is something that we want to do, and that's this. Write this down. Persistent prayer for the lost reflects the character of the one that we are praying to. The character of the one we are praying to. You know, there is absolutely no theology that you can find in the Bible that shows us that God desires the death or the loss of anyone. In fact, when you look in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33, you'll find something interesting where Ezekiel 33, God says, I take no, verse 11 says, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? You know, it was Jesus that showed us that God rejoices when the lost son comes home. Right? Isn't it Jesus that showed us that God rejoices every time the prodigal comes back home? It was Jesus that shows us that God searches for the lost coin, looks for that lost coin until that lost coin is found. It's Jesus that leaves the 99 sheep and goes out and looks for that lost sheep, carrying it home and rejoicing. And when we pray for the lost, we're praying like Jesus. It was Jesus who stood looking at this temple in the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over the city. It's Jesus that's right now up in heaven, in the heavenly sanctuary above, who's weeping for a lost world. And when we pray for the lost, we are praying God's will. You couldn't have a more powerful prayer ever than praying for the lost. Praying for lost people empowers your prayers, because that's what God is doing right now. He's weeping for the lost. You know, today I want to appeal to you as we sit here today thinking about praying for the lost. You might say to me, Pastor, I don't see the need. I'd pray for the lost, but I don't know any lost people. I'm going to pray for you, friend, that you would get into the scriptures, that you'd be reading those scriptures so that you would be able to discern good and evil. But you might say to me, well, Pastor, I just don't have the burden. I don't have the burden for lost people. You know, if you don't have the burden today, friend, picture someone in your family that you know doesn't know Jesus. Imagine them in the lake of fire. Get a burden for lost people. You might be saying to me, well, Pastor, I just don't know what's needed. Or I'd pray. Then I would say to you, friend, it's time for you to start ministering to lost people. Working with lost people, getting to know lost people, so that you could come alongside and say, I'm going to pray for Joe. I'm going to pray for Jane. I see now what's keeping them from you. I want to lay that burden right now. You know, I'd like to sing an appeal song now. I'd like for you to think about, while I'm singing this song, I want you to picture in your mind a lost person. Someone that you know, that you see the need, you're feeling the burden, and now you know you're going to take it to Jesus and persistently pray for them. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burden down at your feet, and anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Are you praying for that person? I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet, and in
any time. I don't know what to do. I will cast all my cares upon you.
Your desire to pray for the lost today, join me in song. Stand with me and sing.
I cast all my cares upon you.
Are you thinking about that lost person?
I lay all of my burdens down at your feet.
Yes.
And any time, I don't know what to do. I will cast all my cares upon you.
Father in heaven, here standing before me are people who are now seeing the need, carrying a burden, knowing what's needed. And now I pray, Father, you make us persistent in prayers for the lost, that this church would be powerful in prayer, that we would see and know how you see the world around us, how you see the people that we know in our lives, people in our families, people that we work with, Lord. And we are going to pray for these lost people. Father, pray with us. Be with us as we go forward from this moment on, having a heart full of tears for the lost. Thank you in Jesus' name.